Now, please, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the Psalm that we read, Psalm 19, and I'm speaking this morning on the last three verses of this Psalm, verses 12 to 14. Let me just read them for you again. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to speak this morning on a subject which I've entitled, Why We Should Read and Study the Word of God. Why we should read and study the Word of God. I would encourage every one of you to take this seriously. The Word of God is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. I'm talking, of course, about this book, the Bible. And this is a gift from God. God himself wrote this book. This is not the product of human imagination or human learning or anything like that. This is the product of God himself declaring his will to us human beings. And as we've been studying this psalm, we've noticed the psalmist David speaks about the word of God, and he speaks about how precious this word is. Do you remember when we looked at verses 10 and 11? And he speaks about the words that God has spoken. And he says, more to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So this great King David, this man who was close to the heart of God, writes about the word of God. And he says, this is precious. This is important. And he's encouraging us to read it, to study it, to meditate on it, to memorize it. And it is the greatest thing that we can do as Christians, to read, study, and meditate on and memorize the Word of God. So this morning I want to encourage us to do this. And I'm going to do that by looking at verses 12 to 14, because that's what these verses are about. Up to verse 11, he speaks about the Word of God. 7 to 11, the Word of God. But then 12 to 14, he talks about himself and his relationship to the Word of God. And he speaks about the effect that the Word of God has had upon David. So he writes this down as a testimony, and he says, now look, I've told you about the Word of God. Now I'm going to tell you what impact, what effect this Word has had in my life. And as he speaks about it, he encourages us to read and study the Scriptures. So three things in this verses 12 to 14, why we should read and study the Word of God. And the first reason is this. It's actually one reason per verse, so 12, 13, 14, one per verse. And the first reason is this. We should read and study the Word of God because it keeps us from false teaching. It keeps us from false teaching. That's what David is saying in verse 12. He says in verse 12, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Let me just say a couple of things about the Hebrew of that verse before I explain it. The word errors is actually better translated wanderings. That's how it's usually translated in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word errors. It's actually translated wanderings. And it's the idea that you have a path and you wander from that path. You depart from that path. The other thing just to mention about this verse, you have at the end of verse 12, the word faults. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. In the Hebrew, the word faults is not there. That has been supplied by the translator to help us, because you can't end an English sentence, declare me innocent from hidden. In the Hebrew, you can, but you can't in the English. And so it's not faults. I think he's still talking about wanderings. And the idea in this verse, what David is saying, is that God has given us his word. And God, as it were, has marked out his path for us. And God has said to us, here is the way, walk in it. And David says, but I know my heart. And I know my mind. And I know my actions. And I know the kind of person I am. Yes, I know the path that God has laid out for me. And I know that it's a wonderful path. It's precious because God himself has spoken these words. They've come from heaven. And I know that they're precious and beautiful words that God has given. But David says, I know what I am like. And I know that there comes a time when I begin to wander from the word of God. I begin to stray in my imagination, in my thoughts, in my emotions, in my deeds. I begin to stray from the truth of God's word. And I begin to believe lies about God. Do you know, this is a warning to all of us. This is the danger we have. You might say, but Sukesh, I would never believe lies. Somebody came and knocked on my door and started speaking lies. I would slam the door on them. I wouldn't believe such things. And I know you would. But I want to tell you this. Our minds and our hearts are always thinking. And our minds and our hearts are always coming up with thoughts, aren't they? And remember, we still have sin in us. We're not under the power of sin. We're not under the guilt of sin. We're no longer slaves of sin, but sin is still in us. Sin still has a part that it plays in our lives. And sin will begin to influence our thinking. Let me give you a couple of examples. Imagine that you have a terrible disaster in your family. You're asleep in the middle of the night, the phone rings, you pick up the phone, and the news comes to you. There's been a terrible tragedy in your life. And it absolutely knocks you sideways. It's such a big tragedy, it knocks you sideways. And you're unable to go back to sleep. Well, of course you can't go back to sleep. You've received this tragic news. And you're lying on your bed. You're tossing and turning and all kinds of thoughts are coming. Now, is it not the case that in the darkest hours of the night, when you are there, particularly if you're there on your own, is it not the case that thoughts will come in? Does God really love me? Does God really care? Is God really my caring, gracious Father? Is Jesus really my loving Savior? I mean, this tragedy that has happened. Is God really my Father? Would he really allow this to happen? Do not those thoughts come? They come to me. I'm sure they come to you. You're lying in your bed. You're unable to sleep. You're having troubled thoughts because of the news you've had or the kind of day you've had. Do these thoughts not come? This is what David is referring to. David is referring to thoughts about God which are against his word. He's referring to ideas about God, beliefs about God which are contrary to his word. He's talking about the times when his mind strays, his heart strays, because he's not keeping a clean watch on it. He's not keeping a very watchful eye on where his mind is going. And so his mind begins to wander. You know this happens. It happens to me. It happens to all of us. Our minds begin to wander. And before we know where we are, all kinds of thoughts, our mind is thinking them. And so David says here, who can discern his wanderings? Declare me innocent from hidden wanderings, from those wanderings that have come because of the anxiety that I am in, and my mind has begun to wander. Guard me, he says, from false thoughts about God. You know, this is why it is so important to read and study and meditate on and memorize scripture. Because this book, and this book alone, tells us who God is. This book tells us God's relationship to us. This book tells us about God's grace and God's love towards us. And even when the worst news comes, in the middle of the night, and the night is darkest, and you're wide awake, and all kinds of thoughts are going in your mind, this book will bring you back to God. And this book will say, yes, I know there's been disaster. Yes, I know tragedy has come. But God is love. And God is your Father. And God loves you. And God's heart is filled with grace. And God giveth and giveth and giveth. And there's no end to God's mercy. And there's no end to God's grace. And remember, God is all wise. God knows what he is doing. And God never makes a mistake. So while you're lying there on your bed, and all kinds of thoughts are going through your head, don't let those thoughts run away with themselves. Don't let your thoughts wander. Bring the word of God to bear upon your situation. Bring the word of God to bear upon your thoughts and the tragedy that you're facing. And say to yourself, yes, I know what has happened, but God is all wise, and God is love, and God is gracious, and God is merciful, and God never makes a mistake. This is not a mistake. This is from the wise, loving hand of my Father. Isn't that a lovely way to handle some of those issues? That is what David is talking about here. David is saying, don't let my mind stray from what I know of you. Don't let my mind wander into thoughts about you and beliefs about you, which are plainly wrong. Don't allow Satan to put thoughts into my head about who you are and whether you love me or not. Let the word of God speak and let me believe that. Why should we read and study God's word? Because it keeps us from false teaching. It keeps us from unbiblical thoughts and beliefs about God. And then there's a second reason in this passage. Why should we read and study God's word? And the second reason is this, that it protects us from sin. It protects us from sin. Look at verse 13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. He's talking about sin here. That's very obvious. He uses the word sin. He uses this idea of dominion from sin, and he talks about innocent transgressions and so on. So he's talking about sin here. And David is saying, not only does my mind sometimes stray into unbiblical things about God, but sometimes I come under temptation and I fall into sin. And David says this. Now please listen, this is hugely important. David says, as a child of God, he sometimes comes for a short time under the dominion of sin. Do you know this is true of every Christian? God in Christ has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness. God in Christ has brought us out of slavery to sin. We are no longer slaves of sin. But sadly, it is true of Christians that for a short time, a Christian can come under the dominion of a certain sin if he or she is not careful. That does happen. I've known it to happen in people's lives. There are certain sins that grasp a Christian's mind and heart. There are certain sins that take hold of a Christian's mind and heart and establish dominion over that person's heart and mind. A Christian can temporarily come under the dominion of sin. Please forgive me, I'm going to mention certain sins because there are certain sins that are very prone to this sort of thing. And pornography possibly is at the top of the list. Certainly in my pastoral experience, I'm not talking about personal experience, I'm talking about pastoral experience in this country and abroad. And it is something we have to be very, very careful about. It doesn't matter whether you're married or single. It doesn't matter how old you are. I say this to you, this sin of pornography is taking hold of people's lives. It is enslaving people. And for a while, it establishes dominion over people's hearts. God's people, Christian people. It establishes dominion over their hearts. It is an addictive thing. And there are other addictive things as well. I mean, we talk about drink, and drink is an addictive thing. And there are Christians who fall under the dominion of drink. And there is all manner of sin like that. All kinds of thoughts, evil thoughts, wicked thoughts. And we become a slave to it. And we wake up in the morning and our minds are filled with wicked thoughts about other people and how much we dislike them and what a nuisance they are to us. And these things again become addictive. Now, what is the answer to it? Well, David is speaking about the word of God. And David says here, I have been meditating on the word of God. I've been reading and studying the word of God. And he says there has been this experience that when I come under the dominion of sin, God's word keeps me from it. Friends, this is a tonic to sin. Because this book reminds us of God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. This book reminds us of Christ and the price that he paid to release us from slavery to sin. This book reminds us of the blessings that God has granted us, how he has redeemed us from slavery to sin, how he has brought us into his kingdom, how he has showered his love upon us, how the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. It reminds us of God's plan for us. And it tells us that God's plan for us is that we should be transformed into the image of Christ, that there should be this trend in our lives, this move in our lives, whereby we are leaving sins behind, and day by day we're being transformed into the image of Christ, and more of Christ, more and more of his love, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his holiness, more and more is seen in our lives daily. This book reminds us of that. And this book reminds us that as daily we behold the glory of Christ, as we meditate on the person of Christ, we meditate on his love and his grace, as his love and grace fill our hearts and minds, so we are transformed from one degree to another into his image. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And so David says, the word of God is precious because it keeps me from presumptuous sins. You know, presumptuous sins. I'm forgiven. I'm a child of God. My place in heaven is guaranteed. If I go into that sin, I'm not going to jeopardize my salvation. I can't lose my salvation. So what does it matter? That is presumptuous sins, and we are prone to it. And we are prone temporarily to fall under the dominion of sin. You see the danger of sin. And so David says that he meditates on the word. He considers it precious because it keeps him from sin. Why should we read and study God's word? It keeps us from straying into false thoughts about God. It keeps us, protects us from sin. And then there's a third reason. And that third reason is found in verse 14. And the third reason is this. We should read and study God's word because it enables us to live a life of praise and worship to God. It enables us to live a life of praise and worship to God. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So he's talking about the words that come from his mouth. He's talking about the meditations, the things that he thinks about, the things that his heart is meditating on. And he says, Lord, I want my words to be Bible words. I want my words to be holy words, to be words that please you, to be words that delight you, to be words that are acceptable to you, to be words that I don't want to be ashamed of, and I don't want you to be grieved by the words that come out of my mouth. I want you to be delighted by the words that come out of my mouth. When I'm speaking to a brother or a sister in the Lord, the words that I want to come from my mouth are words that will delight you because they will bless my brother or my sister. And he talks about the meditations of his heart because we think more than we speak. Especially if you're on your own. I've noticed this during COVID. I actually think a lot more than I speak because I don't see people very often. But those meditations are there. Those thoughts are there. And David looks at those thoughts. And David says, those thoughts, I don't want them to be thoughts that are dishonoring to you. I don't want them to be thoughts that are unholy, sinful, or displeasing in your sight. I want those thoughts to be acceptable in your sight, to be pleasing to you, to be delightful in your eyes. Now, how can we do this? Well, it's by reading, studying, meditating, and memorizing the word of God. Because as we read and study the word of God, so the word of God becomes a part of us. And the word of God begins to enter our hearts and our minds. And the word of God begins to determine our words, our meditations, our thoughts. Increasingly the word seeps in. And increasingly the word influences our speech, our thoughts, our behavior. Imagine you get a phone call from somebody and they annoy you. And the knee-jerk reaction is to have a go. Or the knee-jerk reaction, even if you don't speak unkind words, is to think unkind words. But imagine that the word of God is deeply there. You know how Paul says to the Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in your hearts. Well, imagine that the word of God has dwelt richly in our hearts. And we know that it says that we are to speak words that are seasoned with grace. And we are to be kind and compassionate to everyone. And that word immediately comes. You're in this conversation and you're getting annoyed and the word comes and it says, now remember the will of God. Always be kind. Always be gracious. Always be compassionate. And so you send up a prayer and you say, Lord, I'm tempted here to lose my temper. I'm tempted to say things which I'll be ashamed of later. Will you guard my tongue? Will you help me to give a gentle answer that turns away wrath? Will you help me, Lord, that my speech is indeed seasoned with grace and speaks of grace and speaks of Christ and represents Christ? You know, it is true that a gentle answer does turn away wrath. It is true when you get into a conversation and the other person is all het up and all in a bad temper and having a go and you're very gentle and you're softly spoken and you speak kind, gracious words, you know, it really does work, because the word of God does say that, and the word of God never lies. So this word enables us not just to fight sin and to fight straying thoughts, but positively to live a life that is to the praise and to the worship of God. I trust and I pray that that encourages us to study God's word. Do you know, we are so blessed. How many versions of the Bible are there in English? I've lost count. And we've all got the Bible available. If you can't afford it, you can go on the internet and it's free. Do you know, there are people in the world who cannot afford a Bible. There are people in the world who do not have a Bible in their language, even if they could afford it. There are people for whom the Bible is simply not available. And yet God has blessed us. God has given us his word. People have translated it. And these versions are good. Whether it's the ESV, NIV, NLT, I don't really care. You know, they're all good, because people have been faithful in translating God's word. How good God has been to us. And you know the words of Jesus, from those to whom much has been given, much will be expected. Friends, let's study the scriptures. Let's read it. Let's memorize it. And let it influence all our thoughts and our words.